Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. Sunday, Todd was talking about when he was in Bob Jones in Bible class or in studies, conjugating Greek verbs. I saw Don back there shaking his head. And I'm thinking, I can't conjugate. I don't even remember what that means, an English verb. And they're talking about conjugating Greek verbs. And then I'm sitting there going, now I'm standing here and they're sitting there. And I'm saying, what's wrong with this picture? You know, this is something's wrong here. But anyway, I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to you for just a few minutes tonight. I'm going to speak tonight from John chapter 1. It'll be our primary text. And we're going to speak regarding the light of life. It's been an event-filled summer for my family. Obviously, we've had some major events in our family. Zachary and Abby's engagement this summer was obviously a big event. Abigail has joined and was accepted as an intern with the FBI. I kind of thought that would be like getting coffee and filing papers. And yet she is gone at earliest hours of the morning, traveling all over the panhandle, involved in everything that they're involved in. And you see events in your life kind of happening pretty quick. You know, events come at you fast. And upon Abby and Zachary's engagement, that prompted a discussion between Mr. O'Pager and myself, Mr. Woods and myself, regarding events in your life that can happen or decisions that can be made or small, what seemingly seem to be small, choices that can be made that can literally have lifelong effects, lifelong results. I mean, we talked about, Mr. O'Pager and I spoke about he and Mrs. O'Pager at a party together. And as he was leaving, he realized he didn't get her number, and something prompted him to go back and get her number. You know, what was that? Well, all I know is Scripture talks about us being in Christ before the world began. And Mr. Woods, he and I spoke about it, Mrs. Woods, before Mrs. Woods' funeral, we spoke about the time whenever he was invited to play in a church softball game. And Mrs. Woods was there. And then she was at a shoe store working. And the relationship that was started by just a very simple event. You know, in my own life, I remember, I speak about it often with the kids. I mean, just telling them about these kind of things in life, these decisions. In my life, something prompted me to make a phone call after a pretty good long period of time of not seeing Jennifer. Something prompted me to make a phone call. And that phone call now, 35 years later, I have children and family. And at the time, you don't have any idea what's happening. But those events are small, but yet they have lifelong consequences. And it reminded me as we were talking about that regarding their lives and what happened in their lives and the introduction to their future wives, Mr. O'Pager and Mr. Woods, it prompted me to think about a talk that I gave at the junior senior banquet just a year ago, in which I was talking to the young people that were there, and I spoke to them about the fact that at that point in their lives, all of those high school seniors had gone to school, most of them together, and at that point in time, they were all walking down the same path of life. You know, you do the same things every day together, you're told what to do by your parents, you show up, you do everything. But that upon graduation from high school, all of those, however many were in that senior class, immediately upon leaving this stage, all of a sudden, multiple paths of life start at that point. And for some, there will be good decisions made. For some, there will be bad decisions made. But that's what happens in life. Life occurs that way. And one of the verses that I spoke to the young people about that day was Psalm 119:105, where it said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we spoke about needing, if the future as you leave school and as you're a young person going out into life, you can look at it and think of those paths being dark because it's unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. And young people obviously are concerned about decisions about life, college, career, spouses, all those kind of things that are in the mind of young people. And I spoke to them about the Word of God being a light unto their path. And as we discussed this with Mr. Woods and Mr. O'Pager, and it made me think about that, and it made me think about the Word of God in Psalm 119, speaking of the Word of God being a light unto my path, I thought back about this concept of Jesus as the light of the world. And I began to think about that and began to contemplate that. And one of the things that I realized was that familiarity with Scripture, growing up in a Christian home, going to a Christian school all my life, coming to a Bible-preaching church all my life, sometimes familiarity with phrases, words, Scripture can really, I hate to say this, but it can actually be a barrier to understanding. Because something is said, He's the light of the world, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. I understand He's claiming to be the light. We understand that in light, in Scripture, that has significant meaning in Scripture, light versus darkness, righteousness versus sin, understanding versus lack of understanding, spiritual understanding. We understand those things, but when Jesus Himself says, I am the light of the world, my familiarity with that passage of Scripture can sometimes be a barrier to me actually understanding what He's saying there. So let's look at John chapter 1. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. These are very familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So I looked at that and I said, let's look at what Jesus is saying there. Jesus often used earthly objects to make spiritual points. He spoke of Himself as being the bread of life. He spoke of Himself as being the light of the world. He spoke of Himself as being the water. He often used those things. And so I think it's helpful for us to look at those earthly objects and see what is characteristic about them in order to learn spiritual truths from that. Let's examine light. What is light? I mean, we take it for granted. Turn the lights on. I think we think sometimes of light as being static. You know, it's either here or it's not here. It's either light or it's dark. Light is anything but static. Light is energy. It's electromagnetic radiation within a portion of the electromagnetic spectrum that we consider most of the time to be visible light. There's obviously invisible light as well, but that's what we think of as visible light. And science defines light as luminous energy, radiant energy, electromagnetic energy. Light is one of the scientific constants of the universe. It is constant, the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So light is anything but static. And in our world, it's in essence what it is high-speed energy, is what light is. In our world, it has many functions, but tonight I just want to look at two of them for just a minute here. Two functions or results of light. Number one, light produces life. Number two, light gives sight or vision. Look with me in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, a very familiar passage. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So there at the very beginning we see that the earth was without form and void. And what did He do? He created light. Light is the foundation to life. I read a scientist quoting, man, not a godly man at all, this is what he said. He said, the sun is life on Earth. Without it, Earth would be a giant frozen ball in space at a temperature so low nothing could live on it. Not only that, but Earth wouldn't have formed at all. Isn't that interesting? He just said Earth was without form and void, and then he created light. He said, the sun also provides the energy for photosynthesis, which is the process in which plants take sunlight and convert it into chemical energy stored in carbohydrates, plant food. Plants use carbon dioxide and water in the process and produce oxygen in the form of O2, which is what other forms of life breathe, including us. No sun, no light, no life. So we see that naturally, light is essential to life here on this earth. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, I am essential to spiritual life. Just as natural light produces life, Jesus' spiritual life produces light, produces spiritual life. Notice that he says he is the light of the world. He didn't say, I am a light. He said, I am the light. We went to out west this past summer, went to the Grand Canyon. We laughed about it later because Jennifer was a little, she's got an issue with heights and things like that, and it can be pretty daunting when you look at the Grand Canyon for the first time. So she really couldn't look at it very often without getting motion sickness. But later on, we were laughing. She was talking to her sister, I believe, and she said, yeah, we went to a Grand Canyon. And we laughed and said, Jennifer, we didn't go to a Grand Canyon. We went to the Grand Canyon. So Jesus didn't say, I am a light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. Spiritual life is eternal life. It's abundant life. It's the new creation. It's that new man Paul talks about. That's what he's talking about. And the message, just like this scientist discussed photosynthesis, taking light and water and carbon dioxide and creating food for the plant that sustains life on this earth. The message of the gospel is a light. Jesus' words in Scripture are a light. When he said to those people that the fulfillment of the law was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's light, people. And we're dark. We're dark, but all of a sudden, a ray of light shines in. And you look at yourself, and you say, I don't measure up to that. I don't love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. I certainly don't love my neighbor as myself. And that's light. And then the gospel message is given. The Word of God is given. And that becomes a spiritual light into the darkness of a dead, lifeless heart. And you know what it is? Just like that photosynthesis mixes sunlight with those other factors, what's it mixed with? It's mixed with faith. You believe the gospel message, the story of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His fulfillment and atonement for the sin of mankind. And that produces spiritual life inside the life of the believer. A new man. I looked at that. I even thought about that verse in Hebrews. That verse in Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews spoke about the children of Israel. And it said, the gospel that was preached to them, the word that was preached to them, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What's that mixing? That's that synthesis. Photosynthesis. Producing spiritual life. So when he says, I am the light of the world, when he talks about being the light of life, he is saying he is the essential one for life. He has the message of life. And those light rays shine in the darkness. Now, one contrast that I find with the natural light and the spiritual light is that verse in John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you have a Scofield Bible there, you may see a note on that word comprehended. It actually means did not lay hold of it. You know, sometimes I've heard often, well, light conquers darkness. natural light conquers darkness. But I've always thought about that. Then let me ask you this. Why is space black? If light conquers darkness, why is space black? Because natural light requires something to reflect on it to come back to your eye. But in space, you see those pictures of astronauts, people in the space station. Why is outer space total blackness? Light is shining in there. And I find that interesting because it says, in that case, though, in the light of Jesus, the spiritual light, it says, and the darkness apprehended it not. So there's a contrast I see there to natural light. They even have a name for that. I looked that up. They even call it Olber's paradox, because that's actually scientists have studied, why is space not lit? If we have light shining in it, why is it not lit? They have all kind of theories about why that's the case. The second thing light gives is light gives sight or vision. Natural light is necessary for sight. The human eye is a sensory organ adapted to allow vision by reacting to rays of light. It's a collector of light. There are delicate structures that enable light energy that enters the eye to be converted to electrochemical energy. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said the light of the body is the eye. And he said, if thine eye be single or thy eye be sound, thy whole body is full of light. So light is necessary for vision. So we have spiritual life, and after we have spiritual life, we have a new creation. We then have spiritual eyes to be able to see the path that God has laid out for us. And then when he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, he actually is saying we now have spiritual eyes to see the path that he lays out for us. I thought back of those events that we talked about, those events of life, small events that we don't consider to be very important at that moment. Those are small rays of light, a lamp to your feet if you're a Christian. And you just take one more step. And then you wait, and then the next ray of light. And you take another step if you're seeking him and if you're seeking his will. And he will provide that light. Now, what does he say that we're to do? He says in John, he says, while you have the light, believe in the light. So you have to believe in the light. And when he lays out a path for you, you have to mix that with faith. You have to believe him and step out in that. You know, I look at these young people, and I'm around them a lot down at Gators. And it reminds me a lot of my own life. And you know, as we get older, we get set in our ways and we kind of get set in our routine of life. It's very easy to forget those young struggles of life, those young scary times of life when you don't know what your future holds. And we should not forget that. Because we're set in our ways. I mean, I can remember in those days when I was deciding or praying about what I would do. Those were scary times. But yet God, day by day, laid out light. And if you take a step, the next step, he lays out light. You know, we have people here that have needs. Just because we're older now, just because we're set in our ways or have our jobs or have our careers or have what our path of life is and we know what that is, it doesn't mean we have needs. Obviously, we all have needs every day. We look at the Vestals. The Vestals are back there. They have needs right now. They have uncertainty in their life. What are they going to do? They're going to rely on the Word of God for light. And then they're going to, in faith, step out day by day, event by event, as He provides that light. And they're going to believe Him that He will provide that light. Our ministry here, we have a need. We have fourth and fifth grade teacher, a major, major need. How are we going to fill that? We're not. We're not going to do anything. But we can, by faith, believe that He's going to provide the light. He's going to show the path that we should take. And in faith, he honors faith. He says it's impossible to please him without faith. Everything comes back to faith. And then as we grow older on the path of life, even at my age, most of my life is behind me. We grow older, the path of life gets shorter. So the question becomes, then what? Well, we continue to believe him. And we continue to look for him because you know what? He's promised us in his word, he's given us light as to the future. He's given us light. He's promised us eternal life. One of my favorite passages, and I'll end with this, is 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. I would encourage you to read it. to meditate on it and let the words of that passage sink in your heart, especially those in life who are older, who face uncertainty about your future. We're all human. We all have fears that are natural to us as human. What's going to happen to us, our lives, separation from our loved ones. But listen to this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath," and I love this part, "who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." There's that light. We would know nothing about the future. We would know nothing about what happens life after death if not for the light that Jesus Christ provides. And that passage, those words, life, immortality, abolishing death, are brought to light through the gospel. And we have given a rich treasure, and we should honor that treasure with our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the few minutes that we've had tonight to come before Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one that gives spiritual life in this world, the light that shines in the darkness, the light. "I am the light," He said. He was claiming to be the Messiah, and He was. And Father, we thank Thee that through His life and through His death here on this earth, when He was here upon this earth, in His resurrection, Father, that we have life through Him. And we pray, Lord, that You would just help us in our daily lives, those of us who are believers, Lord, to, as we have needs, as we have questions about what we would do in the future, where we should go, decisions to make, Father, let us in faith just look to Thee for light. Light from Thy Word, light from the events and circumstances of life, and help us in faith, Lord, to honor you and to step out each day and to honor you and to step out in the light and believe in the light while we have the light. And we just thank Thee for this, and we pray that You would just give us a good rest of the week, Lord, and return us here on Sunday safely. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.